Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 148. It's just Matt and me this week, mainly because of my fault. I have a strict schedule this week, and unfortunately we couldn't manage to get all our schedules to come together. I wasn't sure when I would be available until kind of last minute, which didn't help. So we're going to reschedule that guest, hopefully pretty soon. So it's just me and you this week, Matt, and we've already talked for the last 2.5 hours.
Yes, we have. You were very gracious, and you decided to lower yourself and come on Techers.
Yeah, it was England versus Scotland, Euros, big game, lot to play for.
Yeah, and Scotland played very well.
They did.
And the praise will end there, and we'll move on from that.
We shall. Well, normally I'd ask you about your podcast, but I don't want this to be a two, three, four hour long podcast, so we'll just skip straight to the chase, unless you got something important.
There is. I know how you love to deride me for talking about D&D. I know how you love to deride about that, but I would be remiss if I didn't plug my other half's foray into it with his one and only episode out now. Goes into it, guys. It came out on Friday.
Oh, well, I guess I better promote MGB Wrestling Podcast. We just recorded today as well, so this will be my third one of the day. I made Mason rewatch the show where he lost his notes. So we did that, and we've got that all ready to come out on what we described as being almost the perfect indie event. So I put a little teaser out, find out what made it so good, but also find out what was the thing that stopped it from being so perfect. So definitely want to check out
that on Monday.
Yeah. Shall we move to Good Cop?
Let's do this.
Good! Bad!
Go listen to This Good Cop Moment, the King of Wrestling podcast, the number one source for independent wrestling. You can listen to him on all major podcast platforms. If you do listen on Apple Podcasts, go give him a 5-star rating, and go follow him on Twitter as well, at KOWP Show.
Good! Bad!
Guests go first, so... Matt, I'm going to be gracious, and I'm going to let you go first. Age before beauty. Go ahead, give us your...
Age before beauty would put you to bat. Mr. I am 50.
I am messing with you, as you well know. I am going to let you give your good cop moment first, though.
Maybe you've upset me now, but...
Mission achieved.
Right, okay. I'm going to start with the news that was coming out of Titan Towers this week. And this is so surprising about me picking up the moment, I know, but it's about what Vince wants to bring back. He wants to bring back some things which have fallen by the wayside in previous years, especially with the fans returning next month, which is awesome. Obviously, it's absolutely awesome. Vince wants to bring back event like the King of the Ring tournament, which I know, Graham, I'm a huge fan of. Were you a big fan of King of the Ring?
I only saw it when it came back, to be honest. But from what I've seen and from the history, then yeah, I think it would be something that's good. I don't like the current one because it seems like Baron Corbin's been king for like 2 years, 3 years.
But to be fair, it's been very intermittent since 2003. There have been some amazing King of the Ring pay-per-view events in general. 2000 and 2001 are exceptionally good ones and well worth checking out if you get a chance to. They're also bringing back Cyber Sunday, by all accounts, which is obviously where the fan pick stipulations. It's something which was always quite popular. It ran for about 4 or 5 years. A Taboo Tuesday at one point as well, which I think you've seen some matches about with Jackson for JGB Superstars in the past.
I believe you're correct, yes.
And also, Vince wants to bring back Old School Raw. No problem with that. We like seeing the old timer back around again. Like seeing them, the people who paved the way for idiots like us to mock them. But there's also a lot of talk about Fox and USA have been getting together and saying, what can we do? What can we do to get more eyes on our products? They're actually working together as a team. Mm. They're talking about doing things like draft days, like NFL stars turning up and on the shows, and NASCAR competitors taking part as well on the shows. They're talking about amazing, like, multi-man, like, us versus them, sort of thing, like Survivor Series, but on more regular occasions sort of thing. The mere fact that we get that the networks are saying that we want to help you get a better product, what can we do to help you? That's music to my ears. It should be music to every wrestling fan's ears that the networks want to step up and help. Because, yes, Vince can do this, that, and the other, but if you've got, for example, if you're Fox and you've got access to all of these superstars, why wouldn't you integrate them? Why wouldn't you? It makes perfect sense from a money point of view to me. And obviously, USA have got a vast array of famous stars appearing in their TV shows, obviously. It makes sense for them to, with contracts and things, turn up on Raw every now and again. That makes sense. Oh, NXT for that matter. NXT, of course, is still the better programming, I feel. That's because Triple H and Shawn Michaels are still running it. And there's still no news about NBC buying WWE, of course, so I don't think that's going to happen. I think that was just smoke and mirrors. But I'm never very excited about the fact that, again, because fans are coming back very, very soon, I look forward to being able to say these words. Now, where were we before we were so rudely interrupted? Back on the road, starting with SmackDown, which was the first event to not have a crowd. It's perfect symmetry for it. Mm-hmm. I think Fox, this was not what Fox signed up for when they bought the deal.
No, definitely not.
No, so, I mean,
odd subject to change.
Yes, I think that every company done remarkably well. Some better than others, but yeah, the fact that all these things are Vince wants to resurrect these are things. I'd be happy with King of the Tournament every single year. Absolutely. And why not a Queen of the Ring tournament as well?
Absolutely.
China entered several. So yeah. Can you imagine, for example, like Charlotte Flair entering and being going up against someone like someone that'd be good for Charlotte Flair to face. Like a Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would watch that.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair could be quite... Charlotte Flair, I think, one day will be the first female WWE champion.
That wouldn't surprise me either. Yeah, to increase the count, to increase... They obviously are... WWE are obviously big fans of Charlotte. Like, the number of titles they put on her, and whenever she comes back, she always has a big match. So, yeah, if they're going to make that step forward, that would not surprise me if they did that with Charlotte, for sure.
But yeah, that's... But yeah, the fact that it's being brought back, that is my good cop moment of the week. What's yours, sir?
Well, appropriately, mine's about something returning as well. After a year's absence due to COVID-19, WrestleCade returns to the Benton Convention Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, on Saturday and Sunday, November 27th and 28th. WrestleCade Weekend returns featuring the Icon Sting, your boy, and is being brought to you by our friends at Big Time Collectibles. Now, I haven't purchased tickets yet, but I am tempted. Weekend tickets are $65, Matt, if you get the all-inclusive package.
For the whole weekend?
For the whole weekend. Shall That's I tell not you bad. What $65 gets you? Because this is my good cop moment. All right. First of all, it gets you one general admission ticket to the Showcase of Champions event, worth $20. It gets you admission to both FanFest events on Sunday at 10 a.m. and at the WrestleCade Super Show at 4 p.m. I'm going to assume you have to pay extra if you want specific autographs, etc., etc. Third thing, first access to the WrestleCade FanFest Autograph Arena, where you'll be able to get autographs and photos from some of your favorite wrestlers, wrestling stars, and legends. That's of $30 value. The fourth one, guaranteed general admission seating for the WrestleCade Super Show pay-per-view on Saturday. $110 value. Now, I got to throw in a slight bad cop moment here because I was suspicious of that number. Like, why are you giving a $110 ticket for something that's $65? If you go and buy that ticket, it says it's $20. So I don't quite know where they were getting their numbers for on that one. Next bad cop moment is they had two number fours on their list, but hey, we know some people aren't good with math, right, Matt? So we'll cut them a little bit of slack on this one. I can see you this week, so I can see that. I knew that was coming. One general admission ticket to the yet-to-be-announced Q&A on Sunday, $25 value. One general admission ticket to the yet-to-be-announced live pro wrestling event on Sunday, starting at noon, $20 value. One general admission ticket to the AML Wrestling Live event on Sunday, following the previous event that was mentioned, $20 value. Commemorative WrestleCade Revenge keepsake lanyard and a yet-to-be-determined commemorative WrestleCade Revenge keepsake. Matt, for $65, that sounds like an absolute bargain. That was a lot of stuff in there. I counted at least three pay-per-view events. I counted FanFest events. I counted all the things that I would want to do if I wanted to go to an event like that. I can't imagine anyone paying $20 just for one of those things, when for an additional $45, you can get all that other stuff as well. I haven't purchased tickets yet, but it's something I am very tempted to purchase tickets for, having never been to a WrestleCade event before. Just to give you an idea, it's about 4.5-5 hours away from where I live.
But if it's a two-day thing, that makes it worth it. What's the expected attendance in recent years? What's it been roughly? Been thousands?
I believe it's thousands, yeah. Yeah,
the reason
it's,
I ask,
it's very popular.
Because I'm going to put that into context a little bit. When we went to EGX in London, that was for a four-day event. And that was just to get in to play some video games. That wasn't, and we got to meet and greet as well, things like that. But yes, that was just to get in to the event. If you bought the super ticket, if you the ticket for each day was about £20.
Uh-huh.
If you got bought the whole package in one thing, it was £60. That's just going in to play some video games. That's not having a chance of seeing multiple wrestling events and having a chance to meet a washed-up baseball bat-wielding Kiss look like wannabe like thing. And yes, I'm going to get hate for that. Sue me. Graham, that's a good cop moment for sure.
I was going to say, I'm looking at like an event right now. I think I told you I didn't buy my Ring of Honor tickets because I was looking at it. But the cheapest seat was $30 with $30 fees. So there's 60 right there. So this was 65 all in. I'm like, it's tempting. I love traveling back to North Carolina. I consider myself more of a North Carolinian than a Virginian. So, yeah, I always like the opportunity to go back. It's in the end of November, so it's not particularly warm or anything. But, yeah, obviously it's over the weekend, like you said. I think I would probably take the Monday off because I think the last event might not finish until about 8 p.m. And like I said, 5-hour drive back, that might be a little tough to get back into the swing of things on. So, yeah. Or I think it said one of the events might even be Friday afternoon as well. So it might be. I might do like I did at WrestleMania. Take the Friday and take the Monday. Kind of go either side. So we'll see. Now, I don't have my timer, but I'm going to say, with only having us here this week, I can allow a little bit of an extension. So as long as you're not going over 2 minutes or anything crazy like that, would you like to give us your speed check for this week?
I will indeed, sir. NXT TakeOver was, again, an absolute smash hit. It really, really was. When WWE get back to doing pay-per-views in front of crowds again, they've got some big shoes to fill still. NXT are still smashing the takeovers. Hornswoggle has a mummy. I saw you tweet that out, Graham. It was very fun to see.
Yeah.
It's such a heartwarming story. And in terms of heartwarming stories, congratulations to Brandy and Cody on the birth of their daughter.
That must have been the surprise thing that you said. It was always after the obligatory mention of Cody. So thank you for doing that for us.
You're welcome, Micah. There you go.
Bingo. My good cop moments, speed check. Pizza Party Wrestling debut for Bro Keller. I do like Pizza Party Wrestling. That was on IWTV this week, and great to see Bro Keller. High energy match. He's changed his look a little bit now. He's got a bit of a man bun going on there, but great to see him in action. Possibly the best Mission Pro Wrestling event ever. I had issues with the last one because it kept cutting out, but the last one was phenomenal. I don't think Thunder Rosa's even appearing in it anymore. She hasn't appeared in the last two. She doesn't need to. The people she's bringing in are putting on fantastic show. I also saw Wrestler's Lab appear on IWTV as well. They only have four episodes out right now. They're each only an hour long, but people like O'Shea Edwards, Mr. Grimm, Eel O'Neill, Erica Lee, all the people you know I like to talk about and watch, so that was definitely a good one to watch. And I saw the New York Mets are handing out WWE belts to the player of the game now. It's like, kind of like that. I don't know if it's the same one and like you lose it as a championship or if they get a new one each time. That part of the story I didn't see, but I thought that was a good cop moment. Certainly for WWE, they get free promotion. So, yeah, hey, why not?
Never hurts.
Good! Bad!
All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
Now, Matt, as we have a little bit of extra time this week, I'm pretty sure I put this tweet out. Jackson had an injury this week, so as I was trying to distract him, I was reading him some jokes. And I think I put out on Twitter that we would try and get the giggle from you. Did you see that tweet at all? Oh, you didn't see that tweet. Perhaps I forgot to tag you in it. That's possible. So I was telling him, he was sat on the couch and he has a big plush toy alligator next to him. So I was like, all right, why don't I look for some alligator joke? I'll take a picture and show you later, okay?
What's his name?
Albert with us for a while.
Albert the alligator. Oh, that's adorable.
That's the name of the Florida, the University of Florida's mascot. So that's Albert.
I knew that as well.
Yeah, they're the Gators. So he became Albert for that very reason. So he's not the real Albert, but it's we just called him Albert because he was a big alligator.
So the man's a Jackson. That's fine.
Shall we try some alligator jokes? See, one I had to take a time out. I was dying at one of these. And Jackson's response is, that's not even funny. So we'll see what sort of reaction we get from you from some of these. All right, let's start off with, what do you call an alligator in a vest?
No.
An investigator. That's a start. That's a start. We got a little snicker there. What else have we got on here? What's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
Don't know.
Alligators will see you later, crocodiles in a little while. We got a groan for you from that one. Okay.
That's obvious as well.
What happens when an alligator drives a boat? He becomes a navigator. Yeah, I got some response. Now, this one technically doesn't even work, but it made me laugh anyway. Who gives crocodiles presents on Christmas? Santa Jaws.
It works.
Well, it doesn't, because Jaws is a shark. But
they've got no jaws. Ben's jaws have got, like, 6 tons of force behind them.
Okay, all right. What do you call... Oh, well, let me change this one, because I thought there was a better joke for this one.
Okay.
What's a crocodile's favourite drink?
Go on.
Gatorade. All right, the one that made me laugh, and it really isn't funny at all, but... Why do alligators not watch films?
Sorry.
Because they live in a swamp.
It's ridiculous.
It's so dumb. I was dying.
So it's funny.
I was dying.
That's ridiculously bad.
It is ridiculously bad, and I was dying for that reason. Jackson's like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
It's true.
You're 100% right. It makes
it's
sense.
100% right, which is why it was 100% funny.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
All right, Matt. Take it away. We know what you thought was good. What did you think was bad this week?
Right. I need to preface this by saying that we're recording before SmackDown this week. Okay. But at the same time, I do have SmackDown in that in my speed check. No, my bad cop moment was on my Night Raw this week. I think a lot of people can probably see where I'm going with this already. This saw Naomi taking on Eva Marie. Now, it's not the fact that Eva Marie didn't wrestle in the match. I was fine with that. I was absolutely fine with that. The problem I had was actually not with what was happening on TV. It was what was happening on Facebook. I was furious with what I was reading. The amount of people who were fat-shaming Piper Niven.
I didn't see that, I'm pleased to see. Pleased to say.
It was disgraceful. We've said before about body shaming on this show. If we talk, we don't stray away from a difficult issue. We've done that since day one, Graham. You know, Nia Jax is a bigger lady.
Mm-hmm.
Piper Niven, Viper, as she was known when she was wrestling for the Indies before she came to NXT, and she is an amazing wrestler. She fits into the Jordynne Grace bracket in terms of she'll be that kind of star. Piper Niven has the talent and the speed and the quality to main event pay-per-views. For sure. For sure. And then you get trolls who don't even know her. Just fashion. And I quote one of them of fat bitch.
Wow.
First of all, that's someone's daughter. That's someone's wife. Possibly someone's mother. How would you like it if someone said that about your mum or your wife or your daughter? You'd be furious. I would be. If someone said that about my wife.
Absolutely. A lot of times, if you say something like that, you're going to smack in the face.
Exactly, but because the internet... nothing happened to it. Thankfully, for every single person that fat shamed, there was 10 who were saying how amazing she was. And she was. She was amazing. And I hope she didn't see those comments because it was disgraceful. The dirt sheet picked up on them all. And named and shamed some people who were saying it. I'm not going to do that here because I don't want to add anything more to that. But yeah, for me, it is the my bad comment of the week is the fat shaming of one of the best wrestlers in the company. That's not the moving in the company. If you fat shamed her, then go to hell.
Yeah, there's no need for that. Of all the things that you could take away from WWE Raw, if that's what you took away from it, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like we say, the Eva Marie debut is a different matter. And I deliberately didn't touch upon it because I figured you or our guest would have done it when we originally had this scheduled. So I stay away from it. I was delighted to see Piper Niven. When I saw that, I was like, fantastic. She's a believable big force. Like, absolutely, she totally sells that. Like, you can believe that, yeah, you're going to get squashed. You're going to get beat up. She's going to be a force to reckon with in that division. But if that's what the opposite you took away from it, yeah, I agree with you. Go to hell. No reason for it at all. Thankfully, I didn't see any. Like I say, I think we're lucky, Matt. I don't think we have those type. I don't think I follow those type of people. Like, or if I do, I quickly unfollow them, so I don't get to see it anymore. Ridiculous.
I don't follow them. I just happen to see other people, like, screen grabbing and sharing and saying, these people are idiots. And then I did the track back thing to see what people were saying, and it was gross to see. It was just gross to see.
Yep. Now, my main bad cop moment is the reverse of my good cop moment. So in my good cop moment, I talked about great value in wrestling, all the things that you can get. And I saw a couple of cases of really bad value, or what I would consider. If you wanted to go see your boy Sting, Matt, it's $110 just for an autograph. Woof! That's a lot of money. Now, I understand it's a big name, but that's not really that memorable of an experience. If you want a photograph with Sting, same thing. It's like, I couldn't find the exact price. I had to go back and look. I know it's over 100. I think it was 110. It might have been 130. It was a lot. Same thing. You want a photograph with him? $110. Like, ouch. Now, there is a combo package where you can get both, but it was still very expensive. So, not great value. The one that I didn't realize was going to be bad value is this. When we went to WrestleMania weekend, Matt, we went to a few indie events, and the indie events are more expensive than what my typical indie event is if I'm around here. But understandably why, because they have much bigger names. They tend to pack the cards out, etc., etc. I think the most that we paid for an indie event, and you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was $40. I think that sounds about right for what we paid for the most expensive. And we were front row as well, so we're not just talking like general admission. I saw Nick Gage, and actually people talked about this in FanCop Moments last week. Nick Gage is going to face Matt Cardona. Perfect. GCW Homecoming, it's in Atlantic City. Same sort of deal. It's about 4 hours away. Considered it. I know Mason loves GCW from what he's seen. He always wants to watch that type of thing. And I was like, heck, why not? Like, we haven't got to do anything for the last year. We kind of saved a bit of money with not going anywhere. This summer, I kind of want to make up for it and try and do extra things. I don't know if you want to guess how much a front row ticket is. I don't know if it will spoil the stat necessarily, but I'm going to put out a ballpark figure. I had a ballpark figure in my head.
$250.
Yeah, so you went way over the top. But in my head, I was thinking it would be about 50, 60, something like that, based on what we paid. $100 plus $7.72 service charge. I was like, well, that's out straight away. Second row, $75 plus $6. And that was out of my price range. Third row, $60. Fourth row, $50. Fifth row, $45. But when you add in all the charges, it's over $50 as well. Standing room, only $30. So, yeah, unfortunately, we won't be going to that event. Hey, no problem with businesses charging what they want. That's not the bad cop moment here at all. They've already sold out. Front row sold out. Second row sold out. No problem at all. But for a fan wanting to take his boy to a match, I'm not shelling out that type of money. It's a little too much. I can't do standing room only with him either, because he's not going to be able to see necessarily. If those fans suddenly stand up, like often happens, then you're going to be totally blocked. So.
Oh, your shoulders, Graham.
I know. So possibly disappointing cop moment rather than bad cop moment. I guess it's good that the indies are doing so well that they can sell tickets for $100 a pop. But as a father looking to go to events, it was bad for me, unfortunately. That I was wanting to go to a GCW event. I can't see me shelling out that type of money. See, I can't sit him on a fifth row because he will have people in front of him and he definitely will not see. So unless he's front row, you might as well just get standing room only. Some of the things that are a little bit pricey that we would like to do is my bad cop moment of the week.
I want to ask you, Graham, what's your... You were talking about Sting's, how much it costs for certain things. I have the prices to hand here.
Oh, okay. Okay. I can find it.
Yeah, I found it. If you want a photo, $75.
$75.
If you want autographed 8x10 or on your item, it's $75. Autographed poster, $100. Autographed baseball bat, $200. Autographed commemorative championship, $500. That's more than I paid for my championship belt. The Stinger package, meet and greet, that's one autograph and one pro photo. Only 200 available, $125. The Scorpion package, meet and greet, that's two autographs and one photo. 100 available, $175. And the Icon package, meet and greet, that's three autographs with one photo op, $225. Sting will only be doing pro photo ops. They're limited to one person. If your child is under 10, they may also be in the photo op with you. Adults must purchase an extra pro photo op.
Oh, so you can't do like I did with Rhino and push all the kids in and
get one. If you want that, then you've got to pay $75 per person.
Okay, I think actually under those circumstances, one picture and one autograph for $125, I think you said, that's probably about right for a Hall of Famer though. And under those circumstances, I must have looked in the wrong place, and unfortunately, I didn't write it down. But so
there's only 200 of them available.
Okay, and I'm sure they'll probably sell pretty quick because I saw people talking about it and they were super excited about it. So,
yeah. And it's only going on for 3 hours.
Yeah. So you get less than a minute with him then, basically. I'll do the math for you on this one, Matt. 180 minutes, 200 people, you get less than 1 minute.
And if I can't make it, I can just email them and they'll send it to me.
Okay, of course, yeah.
If they, so I'm like, well, personally, I would much rather go for a different Hall of Famer who's going to be there instead.
Who caught your eye?
Which is Kurt Angle.
Ah. Does he have his prices listed?
Half the price.
Ah, there you go.
Ooh, half the price.
So for $60, you can get a picture and an autograph from Kurt Angle?
If you want the Kurt Angle combo, one autograph, one photo op, limit of 3 people per photo, $80.
Okay.
So the same price.
So we could get all three of us then. So maybe the same price. We'll get in. Yeah.
With the Olympic gold medalist. He's going to be there as well.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, cool. I think there's better value for your money for sure, but hey.
Comparing the two, though, that's quite the deal, for sure.
Uh-huh. All right, what you got for your speed check for us?
Okay, I've got two more things about Piper Niven, actually. These are from the actual show itself, though. The fact that they're calling her the Dewdrop, I'm not thinking about calling her Dewdrop on Raw. The Raw commentators feigning ignorance. Oh my god, who's this? We've never seen this person before. The entire WWE universe, that's Piper Niven. We watch NXT UK, why aren't you? And my big thing in the JK is I was looking forward to Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio in Hell in a Cell this weekend. In fact, I was going to watch it on Sunday night. The point now is happening on SmackDown. The reason I would tune in to watch the pay-per-view is, and they're putting it on free TV. I have no interest in watching the show now.
Huh. Okay. That sounds like kind of a good bonus then. You don't have to watch a show anymore, but I understand where you're going with it.
Yeah. The whole thing was this thing with the Mysterios, and I was invested in it, and it's not going to be on the pay-per-view, so my investment in the pay-per-view is now gone. And yeah, if we had to pay for it still, that's money they're not getting.
Sure.
Yeah. I can't be the only person who thinks like that, surely.
I'm going to assume you're right.
Especially the Hispanic market.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. My speed check is just one thing from 2019. I think I saw Max Morrison post this, actually. It was a quote that he posted from Chris Silvio. And it was led with a tip for independent wrestling commentary. It says, call what is happening in the ring. We are telling a story in there. When I'm booked to get over an important match, I hear the soundtrack in my head before we execute it. Attention to detail is important and helps you to help us tell a better story. I've had matches that I felt were really strong, only to watch it back and hear the announcers talking about everything other than what's happening in the ring. Backstories are cool, individual accolades are cool, but use them at the right time. If you call exactly what's happening in the ring with emotion and add your analysis to what's taking place, it will only make a stronger match. Remember, we are pantomiming a story and you are the narrators. Now go forth and be awesome. And I thought he phrased that very positively. He wasn't necessarily calling, but he was just trying to, hey, look, this is some advice. Try and do this, not this. And he was really nice about it. I thought off the top of my head straight away, we've talked about AEW commentators recently and how they're joking around and they're laughing, and it kind of resonated with me, even though this was from 2019, before that time. The commentators play a huge part. Yes, you're supposed to be supplementing what the wrestlers are doing, not detracting from what they're doing.
And that's great. It also is a positive. It's like you spun a bad cop into a good cop. Again, I like how you do that.
Yeah, I try.
You're very trying, sir. One thing that takes me back to when WrestleMania weekend again, Greg. It's a nice thing to go back to regularly. Yeah. When we were watching Black Label Pro, we were sat on the stage, of course.
Yeah.
And we could actually hear the commentary team behind us, of course.
Yeah.
But they were based on the stage behind us. And of course, I've mentioned before, female lead commentator. I loved that. Good.
Bad. What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. And whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found, and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, time for fan cop moments, where we share what were your good cop moments and bad cop moments from the world and from the world of wrestling. I'm going to start with your brother, James Willis. My hashtag best cop moment is I have a little more time to get up to speed with modern day wrestling. James, we'll make sure we get you on the show. It was not your fault this week. It was absolutely my fault. And unfortunately, I am part of the show. So
we have that in writing. Graham messed up for the first time.
Unfortunately, that's going to happen sometimes. We just couldn't quite manage when you were available. When you weren't available, I was. And yeah, it's just one of those things. And my hashtag worst cop moment is hearing that screech from Vicky Guerrero.
Graham, James has never heard "excuse me" before.
Oh, really? I don't think Mason and Jackson had. Jackson hadn't heard it until fairly recently, and he was like, "Oh my!" He was laughing as well. He thought it was funny.
That two words got her over. Who'd thought, eh? Okay, I'm going to slip down to five nerds. Go again, Matt. I remind you, it's meant to be one per person.
He's not the only guilty person of that, for sure.
I know, but he's done several posts about it, to be fair. number one, good cop moment. Samoa Joe at NXT, Piper Niven's Raw debut, my town voting out the Tories, and Ultimate X at its anniversary. Looking for Ultimate X for sure at the anniversary. Bad cop, IWC reaction to Piper Niven. I mentioned that, yes. people are like interacting with outed. I'm not going to say that word because I don't like that word. Outed promiscuous people, shall we say, on social media. And Ricky and Clive podcast.
Inappropriately promiscuous, I think, would be even better.
Absolutely. And Ricky and Clive podcast has gone on hiatus. I do agree on that one. Got a lot of time, Ricky and Clive, unfortunately. They've gone for a bit. Yeah. He for context, he does actually list who they are, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to give them the time of day because they were outed and good. Right.
Shall I move on to UTT Rob then? Best cop moment, rediscovering that Virgil/Vincent was repackaged as Curly Bill in the West Texas Rednecks. And hashtag worst cop moment, Minder taking a week off, so not AEW versus Minder rating war this week. A few responses to this as well. Dan Griffin, discovering the existence of the West Texas Rednecks and their god-awful entrance music is my hashtag bad cop moment. Rob says that's an awful take. Mag says Curly Bob should get mullet of the year. And Rob responds that's an underrated mullet.
Yeah, it's Mag likes getting involved with people's tweets. We'll get involved with his now, at Podfather Mags. Best cop moment. This week's NXT slapped hard. Samoa Joe as Regal's new Tougher Tajiri is awesome. Worst cop moment. The mental health of some people in the IWC. People struggling and needing to take a break because of the toxicity of the community, as well as the delusion of grandeur that some of the community has, believing that their own BS, when we know that are talking out of their ass. We know.
That's nothing but a bad cop moment right there.
Well said, Maxie.
I stayed away from Samoa Joe because I honestly thought you would probably have that as your good cop moment. That was my prediction, but hey, I was wrong. At BFRJCB, that's JCB, baby. Good cop moment. Utami versus Sayuri lifts to the hype. Hard to do when the hype is that big. And hashtag bad cop moment. Are we still doing WWE versus AEW Twitter wars? We get it. You don't like the other product. Do you have to keep hammering on about you think the other product sucks? Just saying. Sadly, yes, apparently it's still going on, even now. I don't think it's ending anytime soon either, unfortunately.
Yes, right, we're going to Cherry Jerry, at Heel Cherry Jerry. Good. This is how you do it, by the way, 5 minutes ago. Good cop moment, Piper Niven's debut. Bad cop moment, Kenny vs. Moose.
And I congratulated him, and I said, you just freed up a little bit of my good cop moments, because, yeah, I had those both in my speed check. Justin, just in time, 2-1-1. Best cop moment, Samoa Joe being back, and the teasers of so many matches that we saw on Tuesday. And hashtag worst cop moment, two words, Eva Marie.
The evolution is going to be amazing once it finally picks up steam, trust me. I'm going to go to Christie's, Graham. At PWCDs, good cop moment, Joe returning and already bossing in his new role. Fantastic episode of NXT. RK Bro is the new day, it's fire. Scotland being embarrassed by the Czechs, and then embarrassed England. Let's face it. AEW fans pretending they never wanted Joe. It is quite amusing to think AEW fans saying that, to be fair.
Yeah.
And the bad comment, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. Oh, Drew Lashley. Give me something new. Move on from Drew.
Please give him Lashley Drew just to wind him up a little bit more.
I will say before you continue, good cop, bad cop replied with Scotland being about is hashtag good cop. That is so schlick. I mean sick.
I was doing some football puns there. You like that?
No.
At High Five Tom, that's the number 5 not spelled out. Hashtag good cop. Yup, late again, but Josh Alexander and TJP going an amazing 60 plus minutes a few weeks ago. I actually saw the whole of that match. I normally would just watch the Impact highlights, but I saw the whole 60 minute match. It was really, really good. Hashtag bad cop. That Iron Match man wasn't in front of a crowd because they both blew the roof off the place. Yeah, that's a real shame that it was only just seen on the small screen. But yeah, I think with people in, they actually had the wrestlers come out to provide some sort of feedback for it and to give some reaction and clapping. But yeah, it would have been really good to have that in front of actual fans.
Okay, you've left me with the last one, which is Bishop at TW Takes podcast. Bonus best cop moment, Eva Marie mentoring a wrestler to a win over a former champion. Yeah, let's not forget that something else people were complaining about was the fact that they were feeding Naomi to Piper Niven. Like she's a former champion. What is she being a former champion for? That's Naomi pushing her over. Jericho put over Fandango in his first match. Don't forget that. Jericho's still a legend. Naomi's a legend. She's fine. Okay. Worst moment. AEW tweeting, watch out, Vince. AEW bringing NYC with Dynamite Grand Slam show in Queens that challenges WWE's local dominance. Just do AEW? Why mention Vince? Ah, yes. Why are you doing it? Why are you mentioning Vince for? Just do what you do.
Yeah.
It does seem like they are a bit obsessed with trying to stick one to Vince. If you're naturally good, you don't need to stick it to him. You'll do it. And I think it's everything.
I think it is as well. So thank you, everybody, again for sharing your best cop moments and worst cop moments from the world and the world of wrestling. And we'll put out a similar tweet in a week's time. And if you didn't do it this time, you can always join us next week by commenting on that tweet.
Good. Bad.
Just so you know, guys, normally our guests would do an open agenda, but we will be doing an open agenda each, of course, on the Good Cop, Bad Cop YouTube channel. So do go check that out if you haven't done so already. Okay, guys, it's Devil's Advocate time. Yes, we've gone through the whole of this episode just to get to the Devil's Advocate, and I've got a good one this week for Graham. Normally, we would have
at least one good one.
Normally, we would have a guest, of course, but it's just us this week, Graham. So, do you want to receive first or deliver first?
I'm going to deliver first, because as we got to the end, I realized I don't actually have a Devil's Advocate written down. I think the problem was I had two different pages, and I think as I was copying things across, I think I might have got rid of it. So this is literally off the top of my head after I saw I didn't have one for bad cop moments. And I don't even know if you saw this match, so I don't know how well it's going to work. But you can figure it out from what I'm saying. All right, Matt, your Devil's Advocate for me is the end to the Impact World Championship was absolutely fantastic. I would much rather see the Young Bucks come in and take the glory than see Kenny Omega win clean.
Kenny Omega doesn't need to win clean. Kenny Omega is arguably the greatest of all time, just off Matt Hardy, just off Chris Jericho, I'll tell you. The best in the world is obviously Randy Orton. But the Young Bucks deserve all the praise, all the accolades they get. They deserve to be the winner of every single match. Because, after all, I can't tell which one's which, so I see more of them.
I watched that whole pay-per-view. It was really good, except for the last match. That ending was absolute BS. Unless, though, Matt, I'm wondering if it's this. Like, you know how people really hate Baron Corbin, which means that he's a really good heel? I'm wondering the same thing now with Kenny Omega. Like, is it so good because we hate him so much? Because, like, in the previous one, the Good Brothers came out and interfered in the match. This time, the Young Bucks came out and interfered in the match. Like, there's always somebody coming in. So Kenny's not even really, like, a true champion. He has to rely on two other people. I'm just wondering now, have I got tricked into hating Kenny so much that it's good storytelling? Or is it just total BS?
Are you effectively calling Kenny Omega Jinder Mahal?
I know as a fan, I hated watching it. It was that it really ended that pay-per-view badly, in my opinion. And I didn't enjoy it at all. It really spoiled the whole thing when the rest of the card was actually good.
That is what you call a dusty finish, Graham. Because that's what Dusty Rhodes used to book. And, who's in charge of AEW? That would be his son, of course.
Mm-hmm, of course. Also at the end, there was another bad moment as well. Don Callis came out and Sammy Callahan came into the ring and he said, well, I'm the owner. I said, I'm running Impact and you're fired. And I'm like, you're not anything to do with Impact anymore. You've actually been signed with AEW. So knowing a little bit of knowledge was not helpful for that storyline. And the third thing is the next match that he has, I'm not going to be able to see on Impact because it's one of those, they don't put all their pay-per-views on Impact Plus. Some of them you actually have to pay for on top. So the one at Slammiversary, I'm not going to get to see the next chapter in this story as well. So I'm not too happy about a lot of things or leading up to it. I wasn't happy with the match. I wasn't happy with the finish. I wasn't happy with the aftermath.
Okay,
I'm not
calm down.
One as well. All right, got it out of my way. I should have used it as my bad cop moment, I guess, really, but I was talking about money and I wanted to connect the good money and the bad money together. So all right, what you got for me?
Okay, this one is quite a short and sweet one, Graham, literally. Liberty Runnels sounds more like a candy bar for a child's name.
I have no idea what this is in reference to at all, so I'm just going to have to BS for a little while on this one. So kind of like, I guess, the Babe Ruth candy bar over here, the Baby Ruth. Kind of got a similar basis on that as well. You name it after a child, so yeah, sure, why not? Name it after somebody who's possibly a wrestler or as a wrestler's kid, or I have no idea what I'm talking about anymore. Liberty, I have no idea what that has to do with anything. So
I even referenced them during my good cop moments.
And that must be when I was looking through my notes when I was trying to scan through.
Liberty Runnels is the new baby daughter of Cody and Brandy.
Oh, I heard you say they had a new child. I didn't hear you mention the name. You just said they had a new daughter.
Yeah.
You didn't say the name, though.
No, but I mentioned sounds more like a candy bar than a baby's name.
Oh, I didn't make that connection. Okay. Why didn't you just say then Cody's daughter? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because
you're giving me a cryptic crossword clue.
I've got to try and stop you sometimes, haven't I?
And you thought that was a good one?
I thought so.
Okay.
I have been awake at this point now for 20 hours. So
we've been around each other for 3.5 hours, so we might be getting a little touchy.
Last time,
we still have bonus material.
We were in each other's company for this long with WrestleMania weekend.
And appropriately, you're exhausted again. All right, let's wrap this up, Matt. Let's get to record that final segment for the YouTube stuff.
Let's do that indeed. Guys, we'll be back next week for episode 149. So close to 150, Graham. So close.
Yep.
On behalf of both, we're out of here.
I believe it's somebody from the Visionaries Global Media Network next week as well, Matt, but I have to confirm. Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/